Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us here with the Texas Scorecard Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor for Texas Scorecard. We've made it through another week. I know these weeks have been seeming pretty long stuck at home, but of course there was a ton of news across the state and actually some good news as well. We're going to be getting to that. So thank you for joining us today. First, we're going to go over to Robert Montoya in our DFW Metroplex Bureau. Robert had an article up at TexasScorecard.com this week highlighting some of the businesses in the North Texas area and how exactly they're reacting to the coronavirus economic slowdown. Robert, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
So in this article, you had the chance to talk to a lot of different folks, folks who own restaurants, folks who own retail stores, you got a very wide array of answers. How is this coronavirus slowdown? We're now in week two or three. I don't know. It seems like it's been years. How is that affecting, you know, say the restaurant industry?
Well, I reached out to a number of restaurants, and there was a coffee shop that I talked to. The owner said, I'm down 60%, had to let go of all of his employees. He's working 14-hour days by himself. I spoke with the guy who runs Coco Shrimp, which has a food truck and a restaurant location. He said 75% decline. So, and this is really hitting the restaurant industry hard. And I also talked with some restaurants up in Colleyville who are also hurting from this. So it's really hitting them bad.
And it's not just the restaurants. I mean, you point out a very interesting example in here, but you know, it's retail stores as well. Specifically, you talk to somebody who owns a comic shop. I mean, for a small business like that, these have to be tough times.
Yes, I spoke with the guy who runs a Sci-Fi Factory, a comic book shop, but also sells a lot of games and a lot of what I'd call, because I'm one myself, nerd interests. He said that he can't even be open. And so he really has no way really of making money right now, but he still has to pay rent for his location. And he's also in, you know, the comic book industry nationwide has also been affected because the only one that can distribute comics in the nation shut down operations. And if they go away and he can't sell comics, he was like, you know, from him, it's like 20% of his business gone. So, you know, he's really hurting right now as well.
And, you know, you talk to some of these owners as well. We know that we talked last week about this big $2 trillion stimulus coming from the federal government. Part of that are these loans, some of them forgivable loans for small businesses. Still some confusion, though, with some of the folks you talked to as to whether or not they'd even qualify for that.
Yes. Brennan, the guy from Sci-Fi Factory, the manager of it, he had told me that he's getting mixed messages on it. He said, from what he's heard, there's a forgivable loan for him to play, be able to pay his employees' wages, which he wants to do, but he says that doesn't help the store. He's trying to see if there's a forgivable loan available for him to pay rent, and he told me if there isn't one, then he's going to have a real hard choice. Do I take on more debt to pay rent when I'm right now not making any money? So real confusion there for him.
And, you know, you talk about that, you know, paying rent. Jacob Asmussen, who we're going to talk to in a second, had an article up about Austin saying, you don't have to pay rent for 60 days. You can't be evicted, which is a solution there. But, of course, all these solutions, right, they ultimately have other problems because now the landlord is out money. But great article there. Love that. That's up at TexasScorecard.com. I also want to briefly touch on, we've been going through, as we've been going through this economic slowdown, we know that the state of Texas, right, and the budget, especially with oil prices down and the stock market down, is more than likely going to come into the next session with a lot less money than they would have anticipated. And so we've been looking at some ways that the state budget can be trimmed down. And one of those ways, and you wrote about this week, is the moving image incentive.
Right. These now, are film, you know, subs. Remember, government does not have money. Taxpayers have money. So in order for government to have money, it has to take money from taxpayers. As we all know, unemployment claims in the United States are skyrocketing. Now, I was a filmmaker, failed filmmaker. I love the film industry. But, you know, right now, the incentive you just mentioned, state of Texas, $50 million in the most recent legislative session was set aside, taxpayer money, for this. Now, two things. One, with taxpayers hurting right now, we really shouldn't be taking money from people who are trying to make ends meet to pay for people to make movies. But also, as of last year, 2019, this is an $11 billion industry in America, just domestic growth. Thinking $50 million is going to stimulate an $11 billion industry, that's like thinking a smartphone battery is going to jumpstart an aircraft carrier.
Well, and to be clear, these aren't, you know, all this money's not going to the big blockbusters that you might expect. You know, we've got examples of it going to, you know, a movie called The Mongolian Death Worm. A lot of it goes to commercials for businesses who, you know, often advertise and compete against Texas businesses as well.
Yes. I mean, you know, the movies that you just mentioned, yes, this, it goes to that. And be quite frank, Mystery Science 3000 has more than enough material of movies to make fun of. They don't need any more. But also, really, subsidies like this, they don't help the film industry. I mean, you have to learn to struggle and how to make movies with what little resources you have. Forcibly taking taxpayer money and giving away to filmmakers deprives us of that lesson of how to tell great stories with limited resources. Because that's how we learn to make the big budget stuff that's really quality. So it's not.
Yeah. And Matthew, if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, you can leave comments. We're on, you know, every Friday at 11 o'clock a.m. And Matthew Spano writes that the loan is available to use for rent, but you can only get 2.5 times your payroll. So they aren't factoring the rent cost in the amount you get. Definitely a problem for small businesses. So thank you so much for joining me, Robert.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless everybody.
Now we're going to move over to our Central Texas correspondent, Bureau Chief Jacob Asmussen. Jacob, of course, has been heading up our life section for the last month or two and, you know, has really had an opportunity now with this crisis and with the way people are reacting to have a lot of feel-good stories. Jacob, you know, this is hard times for a lot of folks, but we're really seeing a lot of Texans step up to the plate.
Absolutely, Brandon. You know, amid all of the chaotic headlines across the state and the nation, and amid all of the people struggling, it's really encouraging to know that there's actually people here to help as well. We have a variety of stories right now on TexasScorecard.com in the live section about just that. There was a restaurant in North Texas called Mudhook Bar and Kitchen that is giving away hundreds of free meals to school district students and actually turned their storefront into a makeshift a grocery market, selling all kinds of things like fresh produce, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, all of the things that are hard to get at the stores right now. So that's an encouraging story. You have a community food bank also in North Texas that is giving away entire boxes of food, you know, meat, eggs, dry goods, canned goods that'll last families up to a week, really helping the people in need. Then you also have an amazing story where a group of Chinese American neighbors and friends got together and raised over $90,000 in just a matter of days. And they bought all kinds of FDA approved protective gear and delivered all these safety supplies, thousands of safety supplies to local hospitals. And so it's really cool to see those stories, not only for people looking for a uplifting story amid all the negativity, but also for people who are in need. So definitely check out some of the stories that we have on the live section.
I know I hear it a lot from folks, especially for the last few weeks, that, you know, if you've got, you know, if you're working at home or you're staying at home, you've got, you know, the cable news going, it's just one negative story after another. And so really, really encouraging to see those stories up at the live section. Now, I also want to touch on, before you go here, a case that happened in Austin. Now, for some background, you had the Attorney General of Texas or the Governor of Texas issuing this order and interpreting it that banned non-essential medical procedures. They just need to shut down while we deal with this crisis and make room for more, you know, more medical supplies, more hospital beds, etc. You had an Austin judge come and overturn that, and then it was turned back. So the ban is still in place, and you're watching this legal game of ping pong. But You wrote a story this week at Texas Scorecard about a city councilman, a very actually special city councilman in Austin, who is celebrating, you know, abortionists even during this crisis.
That's right, Brandon. It's truly unfathomable to see his reaction. You have Austin City Councilman Greg Kassar, a self-proclaimed socialist, applauding killing babies during this time. He called Governor Abbott's protection for children disgusting on Twitter, and he applauded Planned Parenthood when the Austin judge allowed them to have access to the children so they could kill them. And so it's truly heartbreaking that while you have hospitals all across the state and nation fighting to save people's lives, this councilman was focused on killing babies.
And I'm just looking at his tweets. He's saying Governor Abbott and Ken Paxton tried to cancel almost all abortions in our state as part of a cruel political stunt. Our fearless Texas abortion access movement beat them back today. That was, of course, when they had their short-lived victory earlier this week. You know, this is a city councilman, though. It's not really much of a surprise that he'd be out here on this. This guy's a socialist, right?
He is. He's voted continually to raise taxes, to take more money away from the hardworking families that really need it right now. And so it's truly heartbreaking and unfathomable to see the kind of remarks that he's been making.
Unbelievable. Well, thank you so much for joining, Jacob.
Thanks, Brandon.
And our heroes and half-wits this week. For our half-wit, very much on the same topic, okay? Now, as I explained, you had Governor Abbott and Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, coming in and saying no abortions during this coronavirus tragedy. Well, Planned Parenthood and other abortionists across the state banded together, took this to court, and earlier this week had a U.S. district judge based out of Austin, a guy by the name of Lee Yackel, who said, no, abortions must go on. Okay, consider that. Think of all the restaurants and stores that have closed, but abortions, we must continue killing babies during this crisis. It's a constitutional right. Luckily, that decision was overturned, but this shouldn't be a surprise. This isn't the first pro-abortion argument we've seen from Lee Yackel. This is the same guy who, in 2013, overturned a Texas law that required abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges. You might remember this as the same law that Wendy Davis, as the leftists would probably refer to it as, for putting abortion above the lives of those fighting the coronavirus and above our hospitals and nurses and medical supplies. For that, Lee Yackel is this week's half-whip. Now, on a positive note for this week's hero, now, because of the coronavirus, a lot of stuff has been canceled. We know that. And it's not just restaurants and bars, but it's also weddings, funerals, others events. Well, this last weekend, we had the chance. A lot of you know him, Destin Senske. He's working on a campaign right now, but he's worked with us. Tied the knot with Gina. So we've got Destin and Gina Senske having their wedding and making do, right? Holding it on Facebook, a very intimate ceremony, but had hundreds of folks watching from across the state, across the country, and cheering them on. Marriage is a good thing. We like marriage here at the Roundup. So for that, they are this week's heroes.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.